I suck at jujitsu? How do I suck less?
I guess
I
should suck less.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the
title
Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the newest episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So today, we're going to look at 10 unwritten rules sent into me from you guys, the listeners. I did last week like 5 unwritten rules that I kind of thought were at most jiu-jitsu schools, or at least should be. I don't know, I think that a lot of people liked that, and when I asked for just some of the unwritten rules that your gym had, I got so much response, but I also got a lot of people that wanted to stay anonymous, so I just decided to keep this entire episode anonymous, but we are going to look at the top 10 wildest unwritten rules at jiu-jitsu schools. I believe every single one of these unwritten rules I got is in America, but at jiu-jitsu schools in America, these are the top 10 wildest unwritten rules. Before we get into the episode, this episode is brought to you guys by the Gi Gazette. The Gi Gazette is my weekly newsletter, and it is the best way to change your perspective, to laugh a little bit, and to suck less at jiu-jitsu besides the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. And so if you want a little more, check out the Gi Gazette. There's a link in the description. It's absolutely free. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. So like I said, I have 10 different unwritten rules, and I will give you guys commentary on all of them, as I always do, as I give you commentary on everything. But no doubt, the most sent in unwritten rule, so many people have this in their gym and acknowledge that it's super, super weird. You have to wash your gi. You have to wash your rash guard every single class. We wash the mats every single class, but do not wash your belt. The weirdest rule that is still just the weirdest tradition in jiu-jitsu that I have not seen broken. And I get that we wear these belts so much, and so it wears them out so much more. I won't even tell you who. Someone I know always said that he washes his like once a week. Okay, you probably should more. Maybe have multiple belts. I don't know. But he just, that was always his thing, was he washes his once a week, and he felt as though that was enough. And it's better than never, you know? But maybe every class, maybe every 3 classes, how much did you roll? Did it get sweaty? There are times that, you know, my belt needs as washed as my gi. It is as wet as, you know, with sweat of me and other people as it could be. Yeah, that needs wash, bro. Sitting it out in the sun is not going to do it. So yeah, the unwashed belt, let's get rid of that unwritten rule. Even though it's just everywhere, you're not going to wash your knowledge out. You still have knowledge when you do no-gi. It has nothing to do with your belt. Maybe you don't have knowledge when you do no-gi, but if that's the case, you probably really don't have knowledge in the gi. Number 2, this was, I'm going to give you guys a few examples of this one, but it is that you get punished when you don't bring something to the gym that you're supposed to bring. For instance, your belt. My coach used to have the pink belt rule. I don't know if he still did. It was just kind of a fun thing we did for a little bit of time, I remember. And it wasn't super serious. If if you were a black belt, he would usually give you your black belt, right, to wear. But the pink belt was just always a funny thing. There's some pictures of all of us training and all the black belts lined up and me in a pink belt. But I had a lot of different ones of these, and I'm going to share the most creative. And again, I'm keeping these anonymous, but these are so creative, I couldn't imagine that there are a lot of gyms that do these. The next two. One was if you forget your gi, which doesn't happen a lot, but it definitely happens. I forget my gi sometimes. All of the borrowable gis that they have at the gym for forget gis are pink. And so if you forget your gi, you had a completely hot pink gi, and they said that they're all old, they're all really beat up, the gi suck, and yeah, it's just a fun punishment. Now, this was the best punishment I've ever heard. If you forgot your belt, if you forgot, you know, just whatever, if you forgot something, instead of having to wear a different color belt or a different color gi, you know, they would put, you would wear your stuff, but you would lose the ability to grip with one hand in jiu-jitsu. And how they would do that is they would put a sock on your dominant hand, and you would have to do class with only being able to, you know, without using your thumb or whatever, but you would have to wear a sock on your hand. And I thought that that was, and they said specifically a tube sock, so maybe that makes it harder to use your thumb. But I thought that was the funniest punishment that I had heard. It was pretty creative. We used to do this thing, and we didn't do it many times, but Huebner thought it would be fun, was to try to do jiu-jitsu or try to wrestle without grips. And so you would hold tennis balls. Both people would hold a tennis ball in their hand, and it was like jiu-jitsu rules. But I want to say if you knocked the tennis ball out of the other guy's hand, he had some sort of punishment. So if you dropped your tennis ball at all, you had some sort of punishment, or you lost the round and it was a reset. I don't know. Maybe like he got, if you dropped your tennis ball, he got mount or something like that. But that was fun. I don't know if it actually made us better at jiu-jitsu, but sometimes, I don't know, sometimes you're just kind of testing your skills anyway. I feel like when you are doing jiu-jitsu, when you're looking at scenario-based jiu-jitsu, okay, now you're fighting a guy who's wearing this. Now you're fighting a guy who is wearing roller skates. Now you're fighting a guy who is, you guys are in a hot tub and you're fighting each other. You know, like what is the scenario and how much does it change? And just like when they talk about how if they move, they change the diameter of the basketball hoop just slightly, most guys could not, most guys couldn't hit it, most really good guys. But there was this level of athlete that could adjust. And I think that you're kind of looking to get to that level in jiu-jitsu, that you see jiu-jitsu so much everywhere that no matter what the scenario was, you have enough skills to let your jiu-jitsu handle it, right? And hopefully you're, you know, healthy enough and good enough shape to let your jiu-jitsu handle it. And so that's kind of like when it comes to the scenario-based stuff, you're really, if that is true, what I just said, which I think it is, all we really can do is focus on skill development. There's no way you can train every scenario. Yeah, you can train the big ones, which is you versus another person and going at 100% intensity. Those are kind of the big variables that you get to train every night in jiu-jitsu. So you train that. And so sometimes these, you know, taping your hands up, one hand in, is not really as much for you developing skill. A lot of times, in my opinion, it's like you testing your skill by saying, now I'm going to throw a wrench in what I always can do, and can I be good enough to adjust to that? Very, very, very random thought on the on point number two, which is if you forget your gi, you've got to wear a pink gi. Weird point. Anyway, now we'll go to unwritten rule number three. This was a really, really fun one. I don't know how you enforce this, but I like this. Probably promotes bad culture. I don't know, but I like it. On Saturdays, you bring snacks to the gym. And the thing is, if you do bring snacks, if you choose to participate, you should try to bring enough for everybody. And so it's like, you know, whatever. And they said that they usually do healthy snacks, like maybe somebody will bring all apples or whatever. We kind of do this sometimes in the gym where people will bring coffee and, you know, nothing healthy. We're in the Midwest, it's cold. You need black coffee to get through the day, man, to get through even a Saturday morning jiu-jitsu class. Everybody's drinking black coffee, no water, nothing. We need that caffeine, man. And so, yeah, same thing. I love that. You know, the guys that bring in the coffee for everyone are the coolest guys in the world. Everybody loves them. But yeah, I think that's a fun one. Snacks on Saturdays. I could see it getting too wild. When I go to my gym in Jerseyville that Logan Wayne, been on the podcast multiple times, he runs. He is, they always have great, like, not just snacks, but they have, like, candy snacks in Jerseyville. And they're just kind of sitting out. And as the visiting black belt, they're always offered to me. And then I eat a bunch of, candy. I think I ate a bunch of caramel macchiato M&Ms or something like that last time. It was, they were amazing. But yeah, definitely shouldn't do it. Maybe you should do the snacks. I felt pretty good after eating a bunch of sugar and then, you know, teaching a bunch and then going live. Okay, number four. I'd say this one is common. I've seen this one is, you have to shake the black belt's hands first when you come on the mat. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't shake black belt's hands first, but when I do walk on the mat, I think I always shake every black belt's hand that's on the mat already, you know, or greet them in some way, fist bump, hug, whatever. But if I'm running by blue and purple belts, I'm probably still going to greet them if I know them, you know, if I know them by name. Or they're just bro. Even if I know them by name, they're probably going to be just bro. Who knows? But yeah, I think that the black belt respect rules, I think, can be good. It's just when they are taken too far, right? There is nothing wrong with going, I'm going to shake the black belt's hands first on the mat. I think that that's a good sign of respect. These guys have been here the longest. They help me the most. Why wouldn't I shake their hands first or show them that respect? That's not a cult thing to do. It's just when you go, okay, that black belt was accused of something really, really nefarious, and there is a lot of evidence against him. But because he is a black belt who's shown me jiu-jitsu techniques, I will always be on his side. Maybe that's when it's a cult, right? So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with respect, but you just... you have to know the line. You have to be able to see the whole picture. And sometimes you just get so excited about who your coach is that you forget. You know, it can be confusing. But, yeah, so shake black belt's hands. Don't shake their hands first. Who knows? Do whatever you want. I always like to. As I always tell you guys, too, there are certain things you do that get you better at jiu-jitsu. And if you are nice to people that have a bunch of knowledge, and literally just like, I mean, it takes nothing to just shake their hands. And again, doesn't have to be first, but it takes nothing to do that and to just be respectful. But you get remembered so much more by those guys who are meeting 200 people at these seminars, and you know, you get so much more respect from them too. And a lot of times you get taught better jiu-jitsu stuff just because you get to have a little more conversation than everybody else did. And so, yeah, that's my thought on that. Let's go to number five. So the fifth unwritten rule is you tie your belt facing the wall. And another one that I got a lot too was tie your belt with your stripes on the right, or your bar on the right. A few thoughts on that. First, I don't do stripes at my gym, and I don't know if I ever really have talked about on the podcast why. We've talked about me not doing it and made little references, but when I was probably 23, 24, so maybe 6-7 years ago, I don't even think I was a black belt yet. So I didn't even, that is not true. I must have just gotten my black belt, because how could I have done stripes? I think I might have been secretly allowed to do stripes as a brown belt. I was a cool brown belt. So maybe that was what it was. But it was like 6 years ago. I was giving stripes to people, and I gave them to everybody. And one of the guys came up and was like, hey, coach, I actually had 3 stripes, and you know, one of them had fallen off, and you gave me my 3rd. And I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't have that in my nose. I'm so sorry. Gave the dude his 4th stripe. And it was then that I realized this is the stupidest thing ever. And look, do stripes. They're fun for people. They're really engaging for people. And I totally agree, because that's anytime I say that I don't do stripes, coaches will always tell me, well, that is how I keep people interested. So many people feel so motivated by that little piece of tape that says that they worked hard. Totally cool. Do that. And so, yeah, this isn't me telling you you shouldn't do stripes. It's just me explaining why I don't. When I stopped, you know, of course, at first it was like anytime you make any change, everybody panics. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do those anymore. They're stupid. And I only went to belt promotions. And so when you get promoted from me, it takes you 2 years. That's the promotion you get. You don't get any me clapping on the way. You don't get that. All you get is like, hey, you start as a white belt, and if you're really tough, you can stay here till blue belt. If you really are consistent, you can stay here till blue belt, you know? But also, I have a very competition-focused school. And as competitors, it makes it harder on your lower-level guys to rank all your guys. So then people can go, okay, well, this guy is a brand-new blue belt. Look at his belt, right? At Head Nod, you have no idea. This guy could have been a belt for years and years and years. And so there is this little competitive reason I don't like it. But then it's just the fact that I realized that, like, I know what color belts every single one of my students is, because that really matters, and it really matters to me. But when I was doing stripes, I couldn't have told you how many stripes each student was, or even close. And even though I had it written down, some of them were wrong, and some of them were like, you know, maybe I decided to promote this guy, forgot to write it down, whatever. And it was just so silly to me. And so I decided that, like, I'm going to go the opposite of what everyone says, who says, yeah, I use this to keep people motivated. I said, you know what? The only thing that will keep you motivated at my gym is getting good at jiu-jitsu. It won't be a piece of tape. That's why, and maybe because I'm just a really brutal grader, that's why I always see the phrase when people get promoted to blue belt at my gym and they tag me on it. It's like, this was the hardest thing, or one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, was getting a blue belt at this gym. And so for me, that's why we don't do stripes. Is it just is, yeah, it one, it's not really super relevant to me. I just think that it doesn't change anything. You don't get to compete in any different division, you know. It's better for my guys. And yeah, it's way more fun for me to talk trash on everybody else's stripes. And so, yeah, that's the reason for no stripes. But on that note, there's also more rules on the stripes. You've got to wear them on this side. Some places charge you for your stripe and then charge you for your next belt, or quote unquote, the testing of your next stripe or the testing of your next belt. And a lot of people do this, but I just don't buy it, man. Jiu-jitsu progression is so hard. And for you to honestly be a coach and for you to be able to tell me, maybe I am now talking trash on stripes just in general. Screw it. It's my podcast. For you to be able to tell me and point out, I think that that guy over there is rolling like a 3-stripe blue belt. That guy right there, I would say he's about 1-stripe blue belt. That guy right there, no doubt about it. He's a 4-stripe blue belt, no doubt. Right? That's stupid. And so, yeah, I think that it's easy in your jiu-jitsu business to want to make sure that people stay. And for people to get the most benefit in jiu-jitsu, they need to stay. But I just think that there's a point where you go, okay, well, you got to let jiu-jitsu be hard for it to actually change somebody's life. And I don't know. It's harder when I don't do the things that, those little things that a coach would do that don't help your jiu-jitsu at all. They don't make you better, but they get you to stay. Random thought on that. And then obviously I don't care which side my tab is on, considering I don't care about stripes. I actually had Junior Silva from Revive, been on the show a bunch. He promoted, he gave stripes to one of my students at their belt promotions while I was there, while me and my dad were there, while we had taught a free class for an hour for all of his guys. He repaid me by promoting Jeff two stripes on his blue belt. And yeah, it was really, it was this funny thing. They thought it was great. And then Jeff got second at Worlds and I didn't promote him to purple belt. He was a two-stripe blue belt. You know, he was good. Oh, I'm a two-stripe blue belt now. Good for you. Have fun being a blue belt forever. Have fun with that new promotion you got, right? Yeah, I don't know why I'm this way about stripes. That's bizarre. As I talked more to you, I was like, maybe I'm in the wrong. I don't know. I haven't really thought that deeply, but I'll tell you this. No head nod guy that trains at Head Nod HQ. They do actually do stripes at Jerseyville, so there are head nod guys that get stripes. But no head nod HQ guy is getting a stripe from Josh McKinney ever. Maybe I guess when I'm a black belt, I have to do that. Like when I have other black belts that get promoted, maybe we'll do that one. Who knows? Who knows? Stripes are stupid. Let's go to a commercial break. Hey guys, this is Josh McKinney. Just wanted to interrupt this episode really quick and tell you guys about something really exciting that we have at simplifyingjujitsu.com, and it is the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Pro. And so if you've been a fan of the podcast over the last 250 plus episodes, you're going to love the idea behind the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Pro. So over 250 episodes, we have released 8 different instructionals from me alone, and actually just released the 9th one on April 1st, and that was the Trinity of Guard Passing. And when I added up how much it cost to get my Duck Guard instructional, how to learn BJJ, master the Kimura, and I have 4 different seminars that I had, dominating connections that I had, when I added all those up, the total cost of it was like $800. And if you listen to the show now and you don't own any of those things, that investment, to be honest, it seems ridiculous to me. It seems like something I can't afford now. And definitely when I was a purple belt, I couldn't afford. When I was a blue belt, I couldn't afford. And so instead, we decided that we were going to put all these things together and we were going to only make it $20. Instead of 800. And so the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Pro is only $20 a month, and we are going to be adding something new, a different seminar, a different, actually have some new, it's hard to even explain, their best way to explain it is maybe premium podcast courses that are going to be put on starting in June, put onto the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro. But to me, this is going to be, if you like my perspective, if you like the way we break things down on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show, this is going to be the next level of learning, and this will absolutely take your jiu-jitsu, take your training method to the next level. And that's all I have for you. Let's go ahead and get back to today's episode. And we are back. So we talked about all kinds of just different thoughts on the rules, unwritten rules of jiu-jitsu. And now we're going to dig just a little bit deeper. And some of these I really, really thought were fun. And I even thought about like this next one that we're going to look at. And that is that everyone must roll with the visiting black belt. Something like that. I don't think I could adapt this in my gym simply because at an open mat when we have visiting black belts a lot, there's too many people. The visiting black belt would have to do 30 rounds, right? But still, I like the idea of just having that unwritten rule, that unwritten idea of the, the students, the best guys at least, making sure that they roll with whoever the visiting black belt is or the visitor is. Not in a negative way. I think that it's so easy in jiu-jitsu to think that if we are rolling with each other, it is this fight against each other, especially like even if it's in the gym, but if we're not on the same team. But I remember this thing. I think it was before Huron Gracie competed against Josh Barnett. And it was, he told this story of his grandpa, like, getting rear-ended and then going back and getting in an argument. And he's only like 15 years old. And then he comes back to the car and he's like, Huron, you're going to fight this guy. And it was like this grown man and he had to fight him. And it was, the conversation was like, well, why are you going with Josh Barnett? And I believe the his answer was curiosity. He's like, I just, you know, I want to know. I want to know how it feels to go with him. And I just really, I loved that idea, that mentality of jiu-jitsu, because just like we talked about earlier, how everything is about developing enough skill that you could be ready in any situation. To me, it's curiosity then. It's like, yeah, I would do anything to avoid an actual physical altercation outside of jiu-jitsu. You know, I would not want to do that. But you still have the curiosity of, I wonder how I would handle it. I wonder if this situation occurred, how it would go. And I think that curiosity, a lot of times, especially as you get good, it's what motivates you in jiu-jitsu. I wonder if I could be better. I wonder if I could be better at taking the back. And when you start to think that way and you just, you allow yourself to be curious, a lot of times you stumble upon really, really good, ideas. I don't know how I got off on that. Let's move on. This is probably my favorite rule, but this is just as a mean coach who doesn't give out stripes. If you bring up a belt promotion at this person's gym, and this is, I only heard this once, you have to become the uki every time you're on the mat there, okay? So if you, meaning like if you say, hey, coach, when am I going to get my blue belt? From then until the next person does that, you are the uki every time. You're the guy getting the moves demonstrated on. But here's what's funny is, like, he dug deeper into this and he said, so how it works now is it's most like, most of the time people don't say it to the coach. People will say, man, I really think I should get my purple belt. And then they'll get told on by whoever the, it'll get around. And then whoever the struggling uki is that keeps getting beat down every class will then go to the coach and be like, hey, Dave said he really wants his purple belt. And then Dave becomes the uki. So much fun. I could see huge division getting caused in the gym and it being the downfall of your guys' gym, but good luck. This is so good. I'm doing this for sure. Wearing the same outfits, you must fight. So if you were wearing the same gi, if you're both wearing a white Fuji Sakai gi, you guys got to go together. First round. If you're both wearing the same rash guard, you guys got to go together. First round. And, you know, you see who gets to fight. And I've always joked that you do this with names. You know, if we all share the same name. I've always joked that, like, you know, I'm going to beat up any Josh that's on the mat. Or at least try. You know, it's my job. I was sitting next to two of my buddies from Kansas City, two of the tag team guys from Kansas City that came and trained at Revive. And we're all scorched from training. We're just kind of sitting on the side. And I also think at that time I had just gotten beat down pretty bad by the 6'9" guy. And so I was still, you know, I still hated tall people. So I was just messing with them. And I was like, hey, do you guys ever, like, because they're both like 6'3", 6'2", 6'4", who knows? Anybody taller than me is huge. But they're both significantly taller than me. I'm like, hey, do you guys ever have to fight each other to be the tall guy? Like, who's the dominant tall guy? And they looked at each other and they looked at me and they were like, every day, man. And I thought that was funny because I'm like, yeah, you know, anytime, you know, at Watson's, we were next to SLU. There's a lot of Asian doctoral candidates at SLU. And they come in and train. And I always had to be the toughest Asian guy in the room. I don't know why it's like that. I don't make the rules. But those are for sure the rules of jiu-jitsu. Is like, if we have too much in common, we have to fight to see who's tougher. And yeah, I dig that rule. That is a good one. And so let's go. I have two more that we will get into, and these are both head nod rules. And these are just two other ones that I wanted to share. I didn't mean to share the I don't do stripes rule, so I guess there's three. But I had one that I shared to the newsletter, the Geek Gazette, and I was like, man, this is too funny to just not share in general. And it is the congratulations on your blue belt. And so anytime somebody gets their blue belt, anytime somebody does the quote unquote hardest thing they've ever done in their life, and they get their blue belt under me, what we do is we wrist lock them a bunch, because once you get your blue belt, wrist locks are legal in competition. And so we just test your ability to defend wrist locks. And then every time you wrist lock the person, so they're not offended, you have to say, congratulations on your blue belt. And so I was thinking about this unwritten rule and where it came from. And I was trying to remember where this came from. And it brought me all the way back to one of my guys to brown belt now. And he's like deep into brown belt. He's not an early brown belt. He had trained before, but he came back to jiu-jitsu when I opened, and eventually, probably a year into me opening head nod, so 7 years ago, he got his blue belt. And I promote him, and we're going, and I'm going for an armbar. I mean, he was good. He definitely deserved his blue belt, and he was defending the armbar really well. And I was like, man, his wrist is so open to get wrist locked. It's like he's bending his wrist to wrist lock himself. And I basically touched his knuckles and tapped him with the wrist lock. And I was like, oh, this dude's never been wrist locked before. And he jumped up and he looked at me and he goes, coach, did you just wrist lock me? And I go, congratulations on your blue belt. And that is where the tradition was born. And of course, I wrist locked him 6 times that round because he didn't know how to defend him. And I'll tell you this, if I go for that wrist lock on that guy now, no way. He'll die before he taps to it. But yeah, we've had some, I think, so there's one guy who will be on the podcast eventually. I won't name him because I'll name him once he's on the podcast. But he's been brought up negatively many, many times on the podcast. And then he even points out, I did an instructional and I told the story of choking him unconscious twice in the same week. And yeah, this guy, he is the butt of a lot of jokes on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. So I won't name him, but I'm pretty sure when he got his blue belt, I think I wrist locked him 8 times in the 5-minute round. And of course, congratulations on your blue belt every time. But man, it happens. That's the rule. And the 10th rule, and I think that these, I got a lot of different ones of this on how you pick the music, okay? And so this is our last unwritten rule, but so many gyms had different ways and different thoughts behind picking music. And so, for instance, I had somebody was saying, like, if you are first to class, you get to choose what you listen to. So the first person there gets to choose who, you know, listen, what music is listened to. Something we used to do is we used to do a kind of quote unquote king of the mat. It's 3-minute rounds, no, maybe 10, 15 second rest. You're just jumping to a new partner each time. But I would pick a song, or somebody would pick a song, and the goal was it to be the worst song for everyone to endure. And the only way the song got changed, or the album got changed, or the playlist got changed, whatever you wanted, because you could pick a song on repeat, but the only way it got changed was if you got beat in the round or you got submitted. So if you got submitted or if you lost by points in the 3-minute round, then that person would get to change the song and choose something new, right? So that was something we did. We don't do it every single class, every single Sunday anymore, but for a long time. And honestly, I'm going to talk bad about somebody for right now. You guys know who Jeff Bezos is? Amazon Music. I know it just kind of is like $2 or something, so it's super cheap and it just goes right on my Alexa. I can't say that too loud because there's one in my studio and she'll wake up and, you know, she's been listening to this whole podcast. But Amazon Music sucks, dude. It is like there are no movie soundtracks on Amazon Music. If somebody wanted to make a bunch of money, if they pay you for making playlists that people listen to, go and make official movie soundtracks on Amazon Music of every single, literally you could just go on Spotify and grab them all and copy them all to Amazon Music, but nobody does it. Anyway, we used to do Soundtrack Sunday at my gym every Sunday, and it was really fun because we would do, I would pick a movie soundtrack and start playing it, and then people would try to guess what the movie was. And some of them were amazing that people could. I did Joe Dirt one time, and this guy, Aaron Heifel, he might as well be like a Superman / Joe Dirt. He, I literally pressed play, and I was sure, I was like, no one's going to know this playlist. I press play, and whatever, Creedence Clearwater Revival comes on, the first word, and he goes, Joe Dirt. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. And yeah, he won that day. But that was just a fun thing we used to do. But all kinds of different people sent in different music things on, you know, who got to pick. Certain nights they would listen to weird stuff. But yeah, music and jiu-jitsu. Well, eventually, maybe we should do an episode. I definitely have the right guy ready to go to do an episode on music and jiu-jitsu. So I think that might be pretty fun. And so yeah, we'll get into that at a later date. But that's all I have for you guys today. Just wanted to do a fun one, kind of a part two. It's why it wasn't as long as they normally are on a Thursday. But yeah, just wanted to do a part two for you guys and share some of the unwritten rules that you guys have at your jiu-jitsu gyms and then talk really bad about some of them. And so, yeah, that's all I have for you guys. Let's turn it over to Josh to close us out. Hey, everybody. Josh here again. Just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Make sure if you guys weren't checking us out on the YouTube channel, you should check us out. I think it's just Josh McKinney. I've always said it's Josh McKinney BJJ. I realized that I've been quoting it wrong for a year on the podcast. It's actually just Josh McKinney on YouTube. And we post on the podcast, all the video of the podcast, a million different shorts and a lot of instructional content, and it's a YouTube channel, so it's completely free. Be sure to check that out. If you guys haven't given us a review and you are getting value out of this podcast, this costs you absolutely nothing but maybe 10 seconds of your time. We would love a 5-star review. It helps us grow. It helps us find more listeners like you, and so we can keep putting out better and better content. And also, make sure if you are not part of the Gi Gazette, our newsletter that is totally free, that you become part of it. We give so much different perspective on martial arts, on the journey, on jiu-jitsu, on fitness, and just everything in between with this newsletter. And again, as always, it's funny, it's fun, it's something you would enjoy reading each day, and not something that you go, oh gosh, what are they saying now, you know? And then on top of all that, don't forget the iSucker Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro is available for only $20 a month, and it is the exclusive place to get my newest instructional, the Trinity of Guard Passing, where we take the concept of chest over chest and we explain it as deeply and in more detail than anybody ever has. And again, that is only $20 a month. And that is all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I hope that today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.